So does the Westboro Baptist Church hate the Feast of Fun or thanks God for the Feast of Fun?
We thank God for the Feast of Fun. And really, you're some very friendly little fellows.
Aw, thank you, Shirley. Ugh. One of the most controversial guests we've ever had on this show is Shirley Phelps Roper, the matriarch of the Westboro Baptist Church, a hate group best known for picketing the funerals of dead soldiers by holding up signs saying, "God hates fags."
A consequence of this church getting so much negative media attention at these awful protests is, believe it or not, the advancement of LGBT equality. Their cartoonish hate mongering forces people to either side with them or stand up for LGBT equality. There's no sitting on the fence.
Are these guys nuts, or are they pulling the ultimate prank by exposing hypocrisy and religion as a tool for discrimination?
Today, Shirley Phelps Roper joins us to talk about a new battle exploding on several fronts for the Westboro Baptist Church. One, a huge fight with Anonymous, a group of internet freedom fighters, and the other with the U.S. Supreme Court, where they are being sued for $10 million for protesting near a military funeral.
Plus, does God hate WikiLeaks, Starbucks, unions?
Why does Shirley Phelps spank her kids?
What does she think about the Oscars?
And is Snooki a curse on mankind?
Also, your questions for Shirley, you can't be serious. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Pillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, is this Shirley Phelps Roper?
It is.
Hi, this is Fausto Fernos.
And Mark Fillion from Feast of Fun. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing
fantastic. Before I went to bed last night, I checked on GodHatesFags.com, your website, and it was down.
Yeah, we took it all down, hon. We ain't going to let those freaks be rattling around in our stuff. So we'll wait till they get past themselves. The beautiful thing is that we are all over the internet and all over the airwaves, and we're all over the world. And what are they going to do? Is Anonymous going to take on the whole internet? Are they just that bad?
Well, they did manage to get you guys to take your site down.
And we're not making any money off of it. It's not like it's our income. So I'm just laughing at them.
Well, so are you guys like, I mean, your Twitter accounts are still up, so, you know, but
yeah.
here's a question. Some of the people in Anonymous is more of a concept than it is a group, just kind of like anarchists. And some people in Anonymous are actually in support of you guys and say that you have the right for free speech, while some of the other individuals are against you guys and would like to take down your website. Some of them are say that they're going as far as actually that you guys are actually baiting them in order to sue them for taking down their website. Are you guys planning on suing?
I will give them a hug and a kiss, only on the top of their head.
But are you guys planning on suing anybody because of this at all? Or
you don't give hugs and kisses to people that you're going to sue.
Okay,
to sue them. All they've done. Oh my God! Don't you understand? They're talking about this. I've been on the radio in England and in Australia, and it's everywhere where the BBC goes. Mm-hmm. They're talking about it. They have caused the words to once again have a huge global audience.
Some people in Anonymous are saying that you guys actually started this whole ball rolling, and
because the little poor little sorry helpless critters weren't able to do all that they marketed that they could do. And so then they had to start backpedaling. And then when we said, since their pride, since their ego owns them, when we said, oh, bring it, little girls, you're so bad, bring it. You think you own God? You think you're going to change God? You think you're going to shut these words from roaring forth out of Mount Zion? You're wasting your stinking time. Well, once you say that to a group of ego-laden freaks, well, then and rebels and temple faith. What was up there that was on that ride? That was a really good flyer. Nerds.
Nerds!
Yes, nerds. But once you tell them that they can't do a thing, well, then it's go time. So they tried every way. So either they are attacking our websites, or they're not attacking our websites, or they did do this, or blah, blah, blah.
It's like the fog of war. Yeah.
Exactly. So they need just take their licking and go home and thank you. We thank you for giving us another global explosion of words.
Are you ever going to bring up your website back up again?
Sure.
You sure?
We just have to look. All we're doing is preaching.
Sure.
So when it becomes more trouble, when that method is more trouble than it is worth, because you know, on any given day we have 35,000 or 40,000 people, and when we have some big thing like for the couple of several months around the Supreme Court thing, it was like 100,000 a day. And when we have something like Heath Ledger and we say Heath in hell, well, you know, 100,000 to 200,000 a day. So, but that's only little bits. And last week, before we turned everything off, we also were having just huge amounts of hits on the website. But meanwhile, though, it also, we are on Twitter and we're on Facebook and we're on the radio and we're on the streets. Every day we're on the streets all over the country. They can't resist. That's the promise of God, and we find that to be true.
Is that how your group measures success, is by attention that you receive?
No, my dear. Don't you know that we've been on the streets every day for 20 years? Mm. Every day? No, here's how we measure success. Did we get up today and hit the ground running? We are not outcome-oriented, except for the big outcome. Have we been obedient? Is our God yet pleased to dwell with us? And do we have any tokens of our Father's love? Do we have any reason to believe that our names are written with those that will make their way through this life and end up in heaven?
So, Shirley,
that's all that matters.
But Shirley, how do you guys, like with your group and your family, sit down and say, we're going to do this action versus this other action? How do you guys how do you guys negotiate and say, well, God either hates fags or God hates iPods or God hates...
We're working too hard at this time. We don't work that way. Don't you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, if you read the words, if you read the text, and you believe the words, this is what you'd find, and we find it to be exactly this.
Mm-hmm.
The words say that the Lord Jesus Christ, the living foundation of this living body, we are one body, you understand, many believers, one body. This little church is one body. So we find the gifts are all among us. So here's what we do. We call upon our God early and often, and we ask for wisdom. We ask for understanding. We ask for faith. We ask for an open door and effectual. And he says, if you would read the word,
it's on my to-do list.
He'll give it to you liberally, and he won't chew you out. He says he upbraideth not. That's James.
So are you trying to say that basically your decision on what to protest is based on prayer?
Exactly. We ask for the Lord. He directs our path.
How does that even happen?
Let me tell you how it looks on the ground. What I just said to you, here's how it looks on the ground. There's all these things now. There are so many Godsmacks, so many dead soldiers. I'd do it all. I would have us all be bloody stumps. Because, you know, you can't do it all now. There's too many Godsmacks.
Mm-hmm.
Except then what happens is we put our hand to it. First line, the first layer to cut off a thing is no one's available. No flight that you can get there in time. You understand that kind of stuff? Logistics.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple. Or sometimes we'll even get it all laid out, and then there's a snowstorm. It shuts everything down. Okay, well, we know where we're supposed to be. When we see ourselves standing there, so yesterday when I look up and I'm standing outside of the high school where the soccer mom killed the two children while dad's off playing war, that's where we belong with those words.
So in prayer, you guys take a moment of crisis, a moment where the nation is mourning, and you guys show up there and rub salt on their wounds by holding up your protest signs.
Here's the prayer. Guide our steps. Keep our hearts so that we don't get in any way lifted up, prideful about any of this, because this is an amazing ride. A person could look at this scene and say, well, look what I'm doing. Look what I've got. No, nothing. We do nothing. We've got no strength in this world. We're not the government. We don't have your tax dollars. What we have is what the Lord our God has given us. We want to use these resources to glorify His name. And when He has executed judgment by sending the shooter to Arizona and kicking Congress's ass, well, then we need to be there if that's mm-hmm. what we need to do. And so we had our airplane tickets, and the next thing, we got two things that changed our direction. One, I'm not going to tell you about because it was words from a specific source. The other was radio programs just suddenly came forth
mm-hmm.
that gave us not, you know, standing on the ground in Arizona, but over 20 million viewers, 10 million in, at least 10 million in Canada, and at least 10 million in this country, and then another syndicated program that goes through six states. And I don't even know what their numbers are, but I'm talking in excess of 20 million listeners for an hour of time. And, of course, that's not even a close question, because we can stand in Arizona, in Tucson, all day, every day for a month, and we're not going to see anywhere near mm-hmm. 20 million people.
Last time you were on the show, or the first time you were on the show, it was an outpour of response. The writer, Josh Kilmer Purcell, described you as one of the most important allies for gay and lesbian rights. Because
exactly.
the actions of your family and your group actually persuade people to be more sympathetic for the situation for gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered equality. Do you see your group as an advocate for gay and lesbian rights or not?
Here's what we are. We are a group that forces the rebels to say what was already in their hearts. You understand? We're not changing minds or impacting hearts. What we're doing is pissing them off so bad that they get their lazy, skanky, stinky, unbathed butts off the fence.
It's not that skanky.
And say the words.
See, but, I mean, do you realize that you're actually making the world more sympathetic and loving towards gay and lesbian people by your family's actions, though?
Say it right, my dear. Say it right, my little friend. Say, the rebels are saying what their rebellion is.
Okay.
It's coming right out of their hearts what was already. Let me give you an example. You got the guy who's living in adultery. He sloughed off his first wife. He got him a trophy wife. He knows perfectly well that Christ said that is adultery. Now, he's thinking to himself, okay, I'm not a fag. I'm not near that bad. Yes, jackass, you are. You're a rebel just like the next rebel. Your rebellion is just like the next guy's rebellion, so shut up. And then we go in and we say the words. We put the signs in the air. Causes Mr. Ooh, that doesn't pertain to me. To get off his duff and say, all the words they say. It's okay to be gay. We got to have fags marry. We got to have this. We got to have that. It's all good all the time. That's because he wants to justify his sin.
Okay. So let's talk about the Supreme Court trial that you guys are going through.
We're just waiting on an opinion, hon.
Well, let me hear your side of the story. What exactly happened?
Okay. So we go forth like we do every day. We get into this little town. This was before we started looking at the satellite images and picking a busy intersection. And because the cops were so mad everywhere we were going about those soldier funerals, to kind of, you know, calm down, buddy, we said, you pick the spot, we'll stand there. So what we were finding, just like we did on that day, March 8, 2006, we went into Maryland. We go there. The cops met us on the highway. They led us to the spot. We passed by this big church. I'm thinking, that's our church. We drove many blocks and went all the way around these back roads, and the next thing, we're in where the corn grows and the crickets chirp. I'm just saying. And they put up a big snow fence out here in the boondocks. So we're standing here at this, and they said, okay, go in there and stand in that orange snow fence. Well, what they couldn't account for was that God was going to send all the media of Maryland. I think all the media of the whole freaking state was there. That's not a big state, you know. So they take all the words and they publish. So we didn't see no funeral, we didn't see no stinking processional, we didn't see anybody, except the Patriot Guard, so-called, came out so they could flip us off and yell at us. They came out to us. We didn't know where the place was, we didn't see any church, except the one we drove by on the way into town. So anyway, then the dad sues us, and he says, oh, boo-hoo, you, you, my conscience is kicking my ass, and we need a cause of action for conscience kicking my ass. And you need to be responsible for my conscience kicking my ass because you told me what God said, and before that I was really good to not know and not care, or to just quietly rebel. So they sued us. And then you get a military lawyer who takes the case and sues us before a military judge. Before that guy was on the bench, he was a military man. Then all of them were sitting here going, oh, but guys, hello, hello, First Amendment, you can't do this. And the judge, you know, the more you put it in his face, the madder he gets. And, of course, you know me, I'm not going to shut up. So I'm too stupid to shut up. And so every time, finally, at one of those spots, you have to make a record. Because once you leave that trial zone, you get no more evidence. You got to make your record at the trial court. I've been a lawyer long enough to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So while he hates my guts and I'm keeping quiet. I didn't cross-examine a single witness. I made an opening statement. Three of the jurors are shaking their heads at me when I'm saying, we're just doing what all the prophets of old did. No, they're shaking their heads. It was like unreal.
Mm-hmm.
One of the men on the jury that the judge would not put away was a man who goes to the church where the funeral was. Yikes.
How did he get on the jury?
The judge let him on. When we objected, he said, no, that's all good. We're going to let him stay. He says he won't be prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, if he says he won't be prejudiced, well, then, of course, everybody tells the truth in doomed America. So that's how that went. So then we get all done, and I didn't make a closing argument. And that made those military lawyers got up there, both of them argued their closing arguments, and they said, they could get up here right now and apologize. And we just sat over there like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then they get them a verdict of $10.9 million, and of course, the whole world started looking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the next week, there wasn't nothing but talk, talk, talk.
Did you expect that kind of verdict?
Yeah, I was hoping for it. Because
mm-hmm.
I think, what's going to make them look really big?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to make them look?
Well, this could shut you guys down permanently. I mean, why picket people? Why are you poking at these beehives of emotion?
Well, hon, they're poking. You talk about poking a beehive. I'm glad you recognize the concept. That's what you're doing to God. You have a big stick, and you're poking him right in the eye with all of your disobedience. That whole don't ask, don't tell repeal. In fact, when Clinton put don't ask, don't tell into place, you understand that was the beginning of our picket. We said outrage then. Then they did away with it, more outrage.
Well, like, what do you what makes you guys happy? Like, it seems like if you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
It all makes me thrilled. I'm so happy every day.
Whee!
Yay, yay, they got another stick. They found another spot to kick Christ right square in the mouth.
In the nuts.
Kick him right in the teeth. Kick him right in the shins. Every place you can kick a person, they're kicking God.
Well, if God hates fags so much, why bother telling anyone?
Hun, it's our job.
Okay.
How are you going to hold the people responsible for obedience to the commandments of God if you aren't telling them what the commandments of God are, what the standards are?
Well, because some people will disagree with your interpretation of their religion.
Okay, let me give you that. I have only two responses to that. The first one is, the second one is, you mean some people don't agree with us? Yay!
Okay.
They're not going to agree with us. This is the last hours, the last minutes of the last hours of the last... This nation's destruction is imminent.
So you feel like a sense of desperation?
No, I don't.
The last hour?
I feel like a sense of urgency.
A sense of urgency.
To tell everyone I can get my hands on, hey, this doomed American house is on fire. Run!
Okay, so we're on fire.
Did you see all that happened when we went to the hearing?
No, I didn't. I was going to ask you about, because did you actually argue yourself in front of the Supreme Court?
Where are you guys located physically?
We're in Chicago.
Okay. The week for more than two months, and in the last month, and in the last 2 to 3 weeks, oh my God, it was so over the top. Every national media, international media, the whole stinking world was talking about, here, we're going to have a hearing. On the day of the hearing, dude, I don't know how you could have missed this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were on every major network. The night before, I was talking to the CBS. We were outside. We did a picket on the day before. We had the Godsmack tour. We left the Friday before from Topeka. We stopped all along I-70 because you can drive. It was called the I-70 Godsmack tour. We stopped everywhere. I mean, it's also National Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. So I had my bandana that said, thank God for breast cancer. It was all over the patients. And so they said, the guy goes, don't you know this breast cancer awareness month? I said, yeah, why do you think I'm wearing my bandana? I'm making you aware that if you'd obey God, you wouldn't have any stinking breast cancer. Something like that.
But
so, before, the lady from CBS, this is Katie Couric, mm-hmm. proper, and she's got her woman out there, and she's got this, and this is no kid, it was cracking me up when I saw how it came out on TV. She says, what gives you the right to stand, to use those soldiers' funerals? I said, gives us the right. What gives you the right? What gives all you media people the right to use those events? The same thing that gives you the right gives us the right. And I have my four signs there, so of course I can't mm-hmm. use my hands to talk, which is what I do a lot. So I had to use my head. I said, it's the First Stinking Amendment.
Mm-hmm. But Shirley, I want to ask you, though, did you actually go yourself in front of the Supreme Court and you actually stated your case?
No. There was four of us sitting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
My sister Marge made the argument.
Mm-hmm.
She was sitting, and you know that you're sitting when you sit at the table. You're in the spit zone. We could only have four of us, so four of the lawyers of us, my love,
uh-huh.
my sister Elizabeth, and my sister Marge, were the ones sitting at the table. Marge made the argument,
mm-hmm.
and it was amazing because you're looking right in the face. You understand you're less than, say, 8 feet from the judge sitting in front of you, maybe even 5 feet. It's mm-hmm. just your tables are right up there. You're looking them all right in the eye.
Now, is this all the judges are sitting there, or is it just...
All nine.
And Clarence Thomas is not saying a word.
Not a word. Not a word. And when that dummy that represented the military lawyer, you know, that was arguing, the first things he did, because he knows that for the first time ever in the history of this country, there are six Catholics and three Jews, and he knows that's two of our major audiences, two of our major targets mm-hmm. because of their rebellion. I mean, priests rape children. So at that picket of that soldier's funeral, it was at a Catholic whorehouse. So we had our sign, priest rape children, priest rape boys.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and they had a sign that says priest rape boys. It made Justice Scalia, angry. He shot up in that chair because, you know, those big chairs, he leans back. You usually can't see his face from the counsel table because he leans back.
Mm-hmm.
He shot up and he cut him off. I think it ticked him off because... You know, priests rape children.
Well,
picking at us because we say that priests rape children, and he's a Catholic. He knows priests rape children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and, you know,
well, it's denial.
Might not like that.
It's denial. It's they don't want to deal with the consequences, and they don't want to even think that it happens. But it happens, and it probably still happens to this very day.
No doubt. And they're going down, town clowns.
Okay, Shirley, I put together a little list of ideas for future signs for the Westboro Baptist Church.
Well, the ones that we have, because there's so many events, we've got all kinds of stuff to address these horrific things. You understand? Just gruesome stuff is going on.
So I have some signs for you, and I want you to tell me if they're good ideas or bad ideas for your group. Okay, so thank God for net neutrality. Or God hates net neutrality.
What's net neutrality?
Net neutrality is the fight right now over an open internet for people to be able to have free access to websites and information. Oh, and telecommunication companies are trying to shut that down.
But you still thank God for all things.
But I mean, so
that, but don't buy into.
So
that.
Does God hate net neutrality, or God likes net neutrality? I guess is a question.
God hates everything about this country right
okay.
now. Is there anything she can do right? So say yes. Say God hates doomed America and every included lesser offensive or unoffensive.
God hates robots.
Thought or concept that she has, everything about her. In fact, it says, no kidding, the verse says, the very plowing of the wicked is sin. Because the only reason they have net neutrality or any other thing is show me the money. So when they make their money, they use it for their filthy manner of life. So he hates it all.
Okay, so he likes telecommunications companies, or he likes net neutrality?
And he gave those things to us to preach this gospel. That's the only reason any of those things are still standing, is because he still left you some people that will tell you the words. You think I'm kidding about that. I'm not. That's the only reason. And so when the day comes that you see that we are no longer telling you these words, watch out.
Okay, but I got a list here. So, okay, what about Wisconsin and the
Wisconsin? He hates Wisconsin.
He hates Wisconsin. What about the unions?
He hates them.
Okay, lupus?
Who?
Lupus. The disease lupus.
The disease?
Lupus.
Well, now that's not a person. That's a disease. Oh, yes. Thank God for lupus.
WikiLeaks?
Thank God for WikiLeaks.
So basically, like, there's like a list of ideas or trends or news, and you guys like discuss it through prayer and with each other whether to thank God for it or to.
You understand? There are only some things that we actually mention specifically.
Okay.
You understand? And it is when we have an imprecatory prayer, which isn't by plan or design, but it's because it's the time.
Impreco what?
You understand? You know what an imprecatory prayer is?
No, what is it?
It's when you ask God to do a thing to some people.
Like and a curse. Good.
You find them, like in Psalms, David has a lot of imprecatory prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You read those, and it's where he's asking God to destroy people and to do things to them.
Why don't you just say curse them?
Our prayers about this nation at this hour are all imprecatory. You see,
imprecatory.
Bad things. They're called imprecatory prayers.
Well, what... How about, like, the book The Secret, where it's like, it just imagine the world like the way you want it to be and think about being positive instead of so negative.
I want you to understand.
Uh-huh.
I want the world exactly like it is.
So you're like the anti-Oprah.
I don't want to make any changes to the world.
Why not?
Because that's exactly the way the Lord our God has laid this out.
Mm.
He put this is called the quarrel of the covenant. God has a quarrel with this generation. And so he's brought this forth to this hour exactly like you see it. I don't want any changes. It's time for the destruction of this nation.
But so, like, when you flip a coin, do you guys gamble?
Flipping.
So, because you always feel like any outcome to any event is always being determined.
It's always being determined by God. That's why you thank him.
So,
God will be done. Don't you know the rote thing that they're always saying? Don't they listen to what they say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, as a matter of fact, it is done in earth as it is in heaven.
Well, what do you think the outcome is going to be from the Supreme Court?
Yay, that's a good question. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be so good.
But she does. Either way, it's going to be God's will.
Well, yes, absolutely. And so it's all win-win. But what I'm telling you is that God gave this rebellious nation the First Amendment. Think about it this way. He clothed the nation in her infancy with beautiful garments. The crowning jewel of her garment is that First Amendment. It is the brightest star in the constitutional galaxy. It is the sine qua non of all of our liberties. It's beautiful. And the Lord God gave it to this nation. It is the law that he put into place. And I don't believe that he's going to let this nation, over a squally crying about your feelings for your sin, no shame, soldier's dad, rebel that sent his son to hell, they're not going to give it away on the altar of his rebellion and his squally fit.
I was looking at your guys' Wikipedia entry, and I just wanted to clarify something. Politically, when you guys vote, you guys are Democrats.
Well,
is this true?
That's not how we vote.
Okay.
I mean, at least I don't know how everyone else votes, but that's not how I vote. I wouldn't today dare vote for hardly any human. I'm just saying, I don't see anybody out there to vote for. But I vote on issues, and when every time we come around to vote and there's a bunch of judges that you can vote against, I vote against them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you guys actually, because some of you actually ran for political party and your father actually ran to be mayor of Wichita, is that correct?
No, but you're close. But don't think of it in that term. Think of it this way. When you run for any office and it opens a door of utterance, you understand, where you can talk about the issues to people and have a pretty good-sized captive audience, well, that's what he did.
It's about presenting a platform rather than actually gaining the office.
Exactly. He wasn't running to run.
So why did you guys choose to run under the Democratic Party and not the Republican Party?
Well, way back in the day, I registered to vote when I was 18.
Yeah.
You understand? That in those days, everyone wasn't a raging, filthy rebel in those days. They were getting there, but they weren't there yet.
Okay.
In those days, to be a Democrat meant that what we were doing at that time, which was pioneering civil rights in this state, in the state of Kansas. So that's what it meant. It meant that you weren't going to, that you believed the passage where it says, where God said that he had made of one blood all nations of people for to dwell upon the face of the earth.
Are you guys still feel like civil rights is an important issue to be fighting for?
Well, I feel like that the black people, for example, by and large, have sold completely out to the perverts, and that they are a perverse people, so I think it's an irrelevancy. I don't think that black people are treated right in many instances. There's no question that prejudice against people for their skin color is alive and well in this country, but I think that by and large, the disobedience and rebellion has made everything else take a backseat.
And that is to our acceptance of gay and lesbian people.
No, hon, that's just the bottom rung.
Okay.
The depravity chain. I'm saying they have kicked aside every standard of God. There's a policy of adultery in this country. There's a policy of sodomy. There's a policy of incest. There's a policy of bestiality. It's wink, wink, ha ha, be filthy, and it's a bunch of murdering criminal thugs. There's a policy of murder in this country.
Now, because your daughters, you guys are really pop culture savvy, ironically. And do your kids like
watchers, and we have to keep our eyes open.
Well, I mean, you guys, I've noticed that some of your on Twitter, some of your daughters have actually tweeted about Snooki. And
I tweeted about Snooki.
You tweeted, okay.
What do you have to say about Snooki?
I don't even know Snooki, but I tweeted about it because I learned of it from somebody. And it cracked me up, so I thought, that's funny.
So God hates or thank God for Snooki?
No, it was something else. What was it I tweeted that day about Snooki? Something, something, something. What now? She's a drunken, fornicating orange troll. Then I said, Snooki? Question mark. Because they had just described Snooki, and that's what it sounded like.
Is she one of those incarnation prayers that you guys have prayed for, like a curse on this nation?
Increpatory.
Oh. Increpatory. Learn these words, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Increpatory.
Come on, Paul. Give us a program.
Increption. Okay, so we have some interesting questions here for you guys and comments from people on Facebook. We figure it's like, you know, because at a lot of gay and lesbian rallies, LGBT rallies, there's not a lot of like discussion happening. Usually it's you or Megan standing out with a God hates fag sign. And, you know, actually, interpersonally, you guys are like lovely people. You know, so so it's sort of like
only
always.
We're interested in your never dying soul that we tell you plain words. I have 11 children, you know, I tell them plain words. I learned how to talk plain and straight because if you don't talk plain and straight and tell them right, then they're going to do something wrong, and then, oh, yikes.
Because you're a mom, you had 11 kids.
Yeah.
You had your hands full.
Yeah.
And you were saying that the reason that hacker groups exist or Anonymous exists in the first place is because Americans aren't spanking their children enough.
Or at all. They don't spank them, hon. If okay. they do anything to them, they shake the shit out of them and scramble their brains and kill them.
Well, yeah, that's
a... They put their hand to discipline their children. They don't do anything at all until they're a pain in their ass, and then they do stuff like kill them.
Well, actually, Americans are spanking their children. In 2005, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services reported that over 140,000 children were injured through spanking.
What did I just say?
So you're saying that they're spanking them too hard.
Child, if you're spanking them properly. You're not going to have any injured child. All you're saying is that's soccer mom. Don't you get it? Soccer mom, the month before, the article that I was reading on my way out to buy tickets in Tampa day before yesterday was that the girl reported because the mom had never touched her in her life.
Mm.
Now all of a sudden, the girl gets in the car. She went in to buy something. The mom said, let me see what you bought. And she said, no. And the mom went to grab it, and she jerked it away, and she said, you're not my parent, and said some other smart-ass stuff that no child should say to their parent. And so her mom backhanded her and tried to backhand her three times, but the daughter grabbed her hand. Now, you got mom over here with policies that they've had all the days of that girl's life, teach her rebellion against God, no discipline, no proper conversation. Now she has a monster on her hands. She don't have no husband there because he's off playing badass war games to make himself a name. So she's left with nothing, no way to deal with this girl except in utter frustration. She realizes now I've got a son and a daughter who are brute beasts, disobedient in every respect, and it is exactly what she asked for. So she went and bought a gun, and she went and killed them both.
She
had enough of it.
Who bought the gun?
The mother?
Mom did.
The mom killed her children.
Now, what I was saying that for is because you said that they reported so many injured children. No, all you have is a lesser-included offense to soccer mom with a gun. By the time you're injuring your child, you're just saying, I've lost complete control of this situation. The only thing I could do is lash out in outrage, and being enraged, I injured my child.
Well, isn't because the nuance of what the message you're trying to send is that we need to communicate with our children as opposed to flipping out intentionally?
The standards of God.
Okay.
It says you're supposed to nurture and admonish them. That means you spank them and you talk to them. Sometimes you look the little child in the face and you've told them the same thing about 489 times, and now it's time to stop talking and get the paddle and beat their little ass. You're not going to have any injured child. You're going to have a child who then comes back in a few minutes and apologizes.
Do you think that's an issue that with parenting is that parents don't know or don't have a good understanding of how to relate to their children when it turns to punishment?
Yeah, the beautiful thing about that is that they listen to the policies of the social engineers who think they know better than the God who created the child.
Well, surely, I mean, regardless of what you have to say, over 2,000 children in this country every year die because their parents did not know how to spank them and spank them too hard. They're beating their children to death. I mean, women get beaten to death. Why wouldn't children be beaten to death?
Let me tell you something. They're struggling with that. Yeah, it's their policy of rebellion against God's plain words. Here's the words that will fix that problem that you just articulated. That is a problem for the widow social engineers. They need to shut the hell up and step away from the discussion because they don't got it. They have nothing to offer. Here's what you will save it all. Foolishness, the verse says, is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You spank that child, it says the blueness of the wound. It says don't worry about their crying, don't let that impact you, because it says if you spank that child, he will give you peace. And you know what? I'm the mother of 11. My youngest child is 8. I find that to be true. My oldest child is 32, and I have 5 grandchildren. I'm telling you, I have 45 nieces and nephews, and 7 great nieces and nephews, 12 siblings. I will testify from a vast experience.
That's a lot of spanking.
That's true. If you do those things, you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. They know the difference between right and wrong. They might not be willing to obey their God, and they might go their way being disobedient, but they're not going to be a criminal thug and a filthy brute.
Well, a lot of studies show, though, that spanking doesn't work and that it makes parents and kids feel useless. You know, that it doesn't. If the point of spanking your kid is because you're trying to change their behavior, it's been proven and it's been demonstrated that the spanking doesn't work.
Promise that you're going to do a thing. How many times do you think you're going to promise to spank a kid and not actually do it? And then they're going to say, oh, yeah, you're just running your stupid mouth. You're just a blowhard. You're not going to do anything to me. And then they're going to treat you just like the blowhard that you are. And that's why they say it doesn't work. I don't mean spank them once in a while when you feel like it, when they've made you really mad. I mean when you look at the situation and you're looking in the face of the child, and the child clearly knew what they did was wrong, and they did it anyway, and you've told them already, now it's time, okay, there isn't any other thing to do here but give this child a spanking. You did it on purpose.
Shirley, will you be protesting at the Oscars this Sunday?
Actually, my daughter Megan will be, but this is the first year I've missed because I have to go over to the FBI Academy on the next day to talk to a class.
So do you have any Oscar picks for this year? What are you...
Yikes, no. I don't watch that crap. Okay. I TiVo the news. I have to keep track on that. But my daughter can tell you, probably.
Okay, so we have some comments here on Facebook that are actually really interesting, and I'd like to get you weighing in on them here.
Okay.
Matt Johnson, good luck getting a coherent, thoughtful sentence out of that crazy B I T C H.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that matter is already established.
Okay.
You either got a thoughtful, coherent sentence, or you did not, and that, of course, depends upon the hearer.
Well, and Paul E. Pope says, question: how does it feel living in a world full of S H I
shit,
and knowing you're only adding to the problem, not finding ways to make the world a better place?
Oh no, hon. We've got all the ways. Look, we don't have all these issues. We don't have all these things at Mount Zion. We don't have a bunch of rebellious children. These children are well behaved. They get good grades. You understand? And not because we're just good people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the promises of God are as good as gold. He keeps us in all of our ways. These children are happy and well adjusted and good students and well behaved.
Now,
we don't have any crime problems, drug problems, no broken hearts, and no stinking STDs. Okay?
No STDs.
Okay. A lot of people on here, Jeff Howard, Jamie Howard, a lot of people are criticizing us, you know, Mark and Fausto, for giving you a platform to speak
exactly.
And saying we are just as bad as you are and that we are shameful individuals because of this.
Well, see, now look at that. The haters hate the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So does the Westboro Baptist Church hate the Feast of Fun or thanks God for the Feast of Fun?
We thank God for the Feast of Fun. And really, you're some very friendly little fellows.
Thank you, Shirley.
And Heather Smith asks, and I've heard this a lot, and people always comment this about you guys, is that she goes, ask her if she has actually read the Bible.
Oh my gosh, so much. I've already told you about the Bible.
Yeah.
So
why do you think people question that? Because it's also the thing.
Because they're angry.
Okay.
What else are they going to say?
And the other
going to say, you know what? Mm-hmm. There was a crew came here to talk to us from the UK, and they said the reason they came here is because the whole purpose of their film was to show that this U.S. is the Christian nation, yet we have a bunch of our young girls who go out to Las Vegas and be call girls, prostitutes, and so they're talking to them, and they're saying, but what about God? And then they squall at them and say, well, when I get enough money to pay my way through college, then I won't do this anymore, and blah, blah, blah. Well, but what does the Bible say? Well, they said they found all over the country, everywhere they went, people saying, oh, if you want to know what the Bible says, you have to go ask them. We hate them, we don't agree with them, but go ask them. So they did.
Jason Pike, personally, I would like to know what Shirley Phelps' prediction or plans are for the future of the Westboro Baptist Church when Fred the Patriarch dies.
Well, of course, I don't expect for him to die before the Lord gets here. I'm telling you, you may think I'm saying it hyperbolically. This nation's destruction is imminent. But after that, there's a lot of interesting things that will happen. There's some interesting that will happen before that. All of these matters fall out in the providence of God. The prophet spoke of many of these things. But what I'm telling you is I expect the Lord to come, and I expect this little church to be together. But if I'm wrong about that, and my dad or my mom, my mom is 85 and my dad is 81, if either of them die before the Lord gets here, I'm telling you it's not our business who will be the next pastor. The Lord our God will provide all of those things.
If that circumstance ever happens, are you going to be taking over leadership of your church?
You're so cracking me up. God hates women preachers. Did we not cover that?
No.
No, we didn't cover that.
No, hon. You can't have no women preachers. Yikes.
I mean, aren't you a preacher in certain ways? Aren't you next in line?
No, hon. I told you. It's not our business. We don't do that. We don't have no next in line. We're not stinking Jerry Falwell promising up a big operation to our brats.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? If we aren't obedient, if we start turning aside to do anything that is not proscribed by the Lord our God in handling His word and His church, then we are just like the rest of the rebels, and we're out. We're screwed. You understand? I'm not intending to give up.
Connor LaBella wants to know about theology. Do you think Jesus has a good sense of humor?
I do. I've told my children recently, when some events were falling out, you can't write this. the humor of some of these things that are happening to this nation. It's called a God, now look, there's three good terms. A God smack, you know what that is, when you get your own personal God smack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a smacking. Then you got a God mock, and you've got a God shake. A God shake would be like what's happening over in the Middle East. He's shaking, he said, he promises that he's going to shake the nations. He's going to shake. Yet one more time, I shake the heavens, not only the earth, but the heavens too, so that all things will go away except those things that are supposed to remain.
Shirley, I'd like,
Hebrews 12.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you about one of the common criticisms of Westboro Baptist Church, and is that people like to say that the Bible and God is all about love, but Westboro Baptist Church is all about hate.
Okay, now here's what you say to the first person who ever tells you that.
Okay.
Besides spitting in their face for being a terrible liar, tell them that that's what happens when you don't actually read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Before you talk about the Bible,
mm-hmm.
it'd be like if you went into a philosophy, or no. How about a physics class? You take a upper level, higher level physics class in college, and you go in there and you tell the teacher, wrong, before you read the textbook.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. Don't talk to me about quantum theories or anything else because I don't think that's right. I don't believe in quantum theories. When you haven't read the textbook.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell.
These dumbasses are doing. They're talking about God without reading His Word.
Well, that's actually one of my favorite television memories is seeing your father talk to this bimbo newscaster, and she started engaging him like quotes in the Bible. He's just like, "You really want to go there?" And he shamed her so much. It was like she just had to end it.
Yeah.
Jamie Howard is pissed off at us. This is what she wrote. Meh, wrong. It's one thing to engage with someone that you disagree with in the spirit of learning more about them from where they stand. But the Westboro cult does not base any of their preachings, teachings on anything other than hate for everyone who isn't part of their cult. There is nothing to learn here. I'm all for learning about controversy, but this is just a shameless attempt by Feast of Fun to get some conversation going on their Facebook page. Stupid, shameful.
Yikes. Well, that little girl just needs to take her fit and go stick it in her nose because what she means by that, let me paraphrase what mm-hmm. she really means. I hate God, I hate His Word, and I don't want to hear about it. That's what she just said.
Jason Pike, what compels you, Shirley Phelps, to speak with two openly gay men, us, about anything at all? Is that not directly in contrast with your church's message and mission?
No, dumbass. Our church's message is, warn, this is how you love your neighbor. I'm so glad this creep asked this question. Because here's what the scripture says, that it means to love your neighbor. You warn your neighbor that his sin is taking him to hell. And if you don't do that, you hate your neighbor in your heart. So that little creep needs to shut up.
Well, he's asking the question.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, he can't ask a question and shut up at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I'm just using it for emphasis.
Okay.
I'm not just talking to him. I'm talking to all of them mm-hmm. out there that have the same goofy thought.
Now,
you need to read mm-hmm. the Word.
Mm-hmm. Now, Shirley, last time you were on the show, you said that you supported equality in the law for all gay people.
What I said is that any person who tells you
mm-hmm.
that it's okay to be gay and then tells you that you can't marry
mm-hmm.
is a narrow-hided, I could multiply words here, but you take my meaning. Rebel.
Just use that stapler for influence.
They tell you it's okay to be gay, then it's okay for you to do all the rest.
Okay.
So in a lot of ways, at the core of the Westboro Baptist Church is fighting for the freedom of expression and fighting against hypocrisy.
Who have we stopped? Who have we stopped from doing anything?
You know, you're really advancing gay and lesbian rights at the very core.
We're not trying to get you to do anything. We're trying to make sure that when you stand before God in the judgment, you cannot say, I didn't know, because we told you.
Is there any truth to the rumors that the Westboro Baptist Church secretly is for gay and lesbian rights and that your mission to fighting for racial equality and civil rights transformed into the fight for gay and lesbian freedom, and that you guys are actually parroting yourselves?
Yeah. That's right. We spend our entire life. And what is the outcome? What for? What end? What do
You're not answering the question there.
Did that person think before they asked that question? Did they actually sit down in the cold light of day and type out all them words?
It's a very commonly thing that I get asked all the time. Are you guys for real?
Yeah. That's right. Well, is hell real?
But are you for real?
You know, there's a...
Some people say it's not.
Now, listen, we got a new parody. And it comes from that Eminem guy and from Rihanna.
What is it?
Amazing parody. I mean, they did such an excellent job with it. And it's, okay, so let me just tell you something really cool here.
Okay.
Can you get that? Can you find that? Okay, so when you look on YouTube, you will find that the actual song that we parodied, a video is up. Now, wait a second. Now, listen to this. You're going to love this. There's a video, and at the end, they have these amazing flames, you understand, on you. It's a perfect picture. The scripture describes the fire. It doesn't consume you, but it's all over you. And if you look at that video online for this song, now listen to this song. It's amazing. I'll just give you a little part, okay?
Okay.
God's gonna stand there and watch you burn. But that's all right, because you wouldn't heed his word. He's gonna stand there, won't hear you cry. But that's alright, because you love and make a lie. You love and make a lie.
I can't tell you how your heart is. I can only tell you what it looks like. And right now there's the fruit right by the run right. You won't hear but still fight what you can't fight. As long as the wrong feels right, it's like you're in flight. High off the lust, strong from the hate. Your mind is reprobate and you love it, won't think you suffer. You fornicate and
wow, right, that's amazing. That's gonna go straight on my iPod.
See?
That's Megan singing, or
That is Sarah. Megan did the...
You're like the Berry Gordy of Baptist women.
The telephone, you know, shut up, rebel, you talk, God don't hear a thing. It's amazing. I'll send them to you. But we're using everything we have.
Mm-hmm.
Every gift, every skill. But yeah, we produce them all.
Well, DJ Shirley Phelps Roper, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's certainly an interesting conversation, and... you know, thank you so much for taking time to talking to us.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. You're good kids. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. So there you have it, folks. Two moms, Shirley Phelps Roper and CJ's mom on yesterday's show, mother of Raising My Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
So which one would you rather have as a mom?
Battle of the moms.
I think I'd rather have CJ's mom than Shirley Phelps Roper.
Yeah. From what we know, I mean, she seems like a lovely person.
Listen, I'm always going to side on diversity and tolerance as opposed to somebody who advocates, for whatever reason, spanking your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can argue a lot of different things about who the Phelps family really are and who they really represent. I don't feel like she really answered our question. And it was almost like at the end, kind of like, wink, wink.
Yes.
Is she for real? We don't really know. What do you think, audience?
Well, she's definitely a person that doesn't like hypocrisy, and she's definitely a person that says, listen, an adulterer shouldn't be able to tell somebody who's gay how to live their life. Somebody who gets divorced shouldn't be able to dictate how a gay person, whether they should get married or not.
Some of their goals, like exposing hypocrisy and fighting for freedom of expression, are noble.
Mm-hmm.
I think the methods and the way they go about it are reckless.
Mm-hmm.
And going to anybody's funeral and going to any type of national event where people are mourning for regardless of whatever cause or consequence of it is ultimately cruel and heartless. And should never be applauded or rewarded, you know. And some people actually on Facebook and other websites have criticized us for actually having her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
My response to that is, aren't you glad that at least we're able to engage with her on a pretty in-depth level to understand who these people are and what they represent and where they're coming from?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to have somebody like Jerry Falwell. He's not alive.
Somebody like that, or Buchanan, or you know, Huckabee, or any of these lawmakers, they wouldn't come on the show and talk to us about you know, why they do the things they do.
You know, listen, if George W. Bush went on Oprah. You know,
that is true.
You know, anything's possible, and I would welcome a respectful conversation with anybody on the show. That said, the show is called Feast of Fun, and we try to focus on things that liven the mood, humor, and joy, as opposed to things that are grim and dark. Shirley Phelps kind of walks that line because of what she does and her family's are unique in that it's cartoonish hate mongering.
It's so outrageous. It's all. It's like it's practically unbelievable because you're like, you can't be serious.
Surely you can't be serious. And in this case, it really fits the thing.
But I wonder, though, is it reckless? And, you know, do some people see those protest signs and say, you know what, I'm with them, you know, and then they're going to go off and do some kind of, you know, anti-gay action.
Because their philosophy is of nonviolence. Mm-hmm. But the people that may side with the Westboro Baptist Church or react to their signs, even though maybe secretly they are pranking people, maybe the consequence is the vast majority of the public responds by supporting LGBT people. But there's if a small percentage of the public sees those signs and says, you know what? God does hate fags, and I'm going to pick up a gun and do some damage to people. Where would the Westboro Baptist Church be? I mean, that's equivalent. You know, we do have a right to free speech. And I think the reason that they're being taken to the U.S. Supreme Court is the fact that they're comparing their actions to the political, the protest equivalent of yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Well, I don't think that's the exact reason why they're getting sued. The reason is because they were called harm to that family.
Exactly. Causing harm in through their picketing.
Yes.
Okay. You know, which is the equivalent of yelling fire in a theater. You have the right to free speech, but when it starts harming people directly, defamatory speech or violent speech, inciting other people to take violence is not necessarily guarded speech.
That is true.
That's where it falls the line.
You know, another thing too during this interview is she said that they had not been hacked by Anonymous. And it turned out, I'm trying to figure out the times from when this YouTube video was posted and that they had in fact gotten hacked by Anonymous. And I want to say that the interview actually happened before she talked to us, and maybe she was unaware of it, but Anonymous did put a web page up on one of their browsers. It was like downloads.westborobaptistchurch.something or other. It was kind of they went in through the back door somehow.
They were able to access their web hosting.
Okay.
And put up this document.
Okay.
And I guess I want to read it a little bit to you.
But if you just went to like godhatesfags.com, this would not have popped up. You would have had to have known the exact URL for this to find it.
And so they managed to put up that letter. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to read some of that to the listeners because it's a little funny.
Okay.
Greetings, Westboro Baptist Church. If you're reading this, it means Anonymous has lost its patience with you, likely because you threatened us again after we denied you a war. Your recent antics to gain media attention for yourself were found to be laughable. Ha ha! In response to your rather poorly written Bring It letter, wherein you try to goad Anonymous into giving you yet more attention by calling us crybaby hackers, we wrote, sincerely, a press release explaining clearly the hoax behind the initial declaration of war against your church. We had thought this latest release would be enough to make you realize we have no interest in going to war with you. Anonymous is hard at work with ongoing operations such as those involving Bahrain, Libya, and Iran, not to mention we are working tirelessly to maintain coverage of all our HB Gary leaks for the public to enjoy. I assume they're talking about like
soccer. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. WikiLeaks, maybe. I don't know.
I guess I'll Google it when we're done with the show.
Yeah. Your continued biting of the Anonymous hand, however, has earned you a swift and emotionless bitch slap in the form of this very message. Despite having had the capability to hack your sites previously, we chose not to and instead responded maturely to your threats. But you have not respected this. For this unremitting display of overzealousness, we award you no points. Take this defacement as a simple warning. Go away. The world, including Anonymous, disagrees with your hateful messages, but you have the right to voice them. This does not mean you can jump onto Anonymous for attention. God hates fags? Assumption. Anonymous hates leeches? Fact. Woo!
Is that it?
Zing!
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Well, the thing that kind of bugged me about the initial blog post on Anonymous, which, you know, whether the Westboro Baptist Church said it or the somebody, a
who initiated
of Anonymous, the thing I didn't like about it is, like, let's remember where Westboro Baptist Church kind of came out in the forefront when people first started hearing about them was they started protesting at a gay cruising spot nearby their church. And then their big splash onto the national scene was when they protested at Matthew Shepard's funeral, who was, you know, the young gay guy who was gay bashed to death. So it's kind of, and nowhere in none of their literature and none of that blog post did they mention anything about God hates fags. It was just about the military funerals.
Well, they'd say God hates fags, assumption, Anonymous hates leeches.
But that was the first time that it was
Anonymous
ever,
has ever brought
yes,
it up.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and I'm sure there are gay guys involved in and lesbians.
Honey, it's the internet.
Everybody's on it.
Everybody's either gay or trans on the internet.
And just to, you know, to bring a little bit nuance to this, not everybody under the group Anonymous is in support of hacking or even this letter. Mm-hmm. Other people also issued a statement, which I read earlier. When Anonymous says we support free speech, we mean it. Mm-hmm. We count Beatrice Hall among our Anonymous forebearers. I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend your death. I'm messing up everything today. But I will defend to the death your right to say it. Just because it was posted on Anonymous News doesn't mean every single anonymous person is in agreement. Mm-hmm. In fact, in this case, it doesn't even mean a single anonymous was in agreement at all. So this could have been a single person did this.
And they're like, yeah, I'm going to issue my fatwa.
So the moral of the story is do unto others as you want them before they do it unto you, or don't do it to them, or...
You know, I don't know.
Don't mess with the internet.
Definitely don't mess with the internet. You do not want the wrath of the internet coming down on you. You also don't want the wrath of God coming down on you either, if there is a God.
I doubt, you know, I think that the thing I enjoy about Shirley Phelps and all this stuff is that it does expose the lunacy of creating a theology, whether you inherited from your parents, your church. Besides all this good intentions that they may have, there really is, when you analyze something, there really is no consistency. That's really what faith means, is take somebody's word and pass it off as a fact. But when you scrutinize it, it's going to be inconsistent. Right. Like, why would Shirley Phelps, I mean, why would God have an opinion on WikiLeaks or Starbucks one way or another?
And I feel like some of the comments we've gotten on Facebook or elsewhere criticizing us for having her on, I think a lot of those people, most of them probably are some kind of Christian or a religious person.
Yeah.
And they're wondering why we would have this religious person on. Most atheists are just like, she's just, you know, still part of that religion.
And also, I think Shirley Phelps brings up the tyrannical nun and for people who are recovering Catholics.
Oh, like me, of course. She definitely like I don't want to step on any toes.
Please don't hurt me, Shirley. So it's kind of like sadomasochistic relationship.
Don't
there.
Hit my hand with a ruler.
I know. To me, I grew up in Puerto Rico, and as a kid, I just kind of would wander around my neighborhood because we could do that back in the 70s. Sorry, I just gave away my age. And I would just wander into old ladies' homes, and they would feed me candy and would start talking about Jesus. And I would just be there like, you are so freaky and crazy.
Hey, listen, I want to remind the listeners, we can't do the show without your support. So please visit feastoffun.com/donate and help us with our ongoing website development costs. If you enjoy our programming, if you enjoy the website, please help us out. We also have fantastic new T-shirts for sale. You can see them at feastoffun.com/store. They're Feast of Fools, Feast of Fun shirts, now in navy blue and brown.
They look fantastic on you. And, you know, if you order them now, if you send them a special message, we'll pretend like Shirley Phelps autographed them.
Yes. autograph love letter.
Yeah, it'd be like...
It'll just be pretend, though.
Dear gay and lesbian people, this is Shirley Phelps Roper, and... I'll see you in hell. She did say God loves the Feast of Fun.
She did say that.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's a good thing.
Coming from her.
That's a good
thing. I think it's a good thing.
Hey, I'd rather be loved by him than hated by him.
Well, you know. Yeah. Either way, attention is attention. As the Westboro Baptist Church says, that's she wants true. To give all of every single person in Anonymous a kiss. So if you're in Anonymous listening to this, would you get a kiss from Shirley Phelps on the forehead. She doesn't kiss people on the lips or on the cheeks. I noticed that.
No.
She's like Oprah. She doesn't want to touch people too close because she's a little bit afraid of their germs.
She doesn't want any STDs.
She don't want... Every single person in her family does not have STDs. I don't know if that's necessarily true or not.
I think it's a funny thing to say.
I know.
Nobody around here has an STD.
I don't have any STDs, people.
That we know of.
We're going to leave you here with some fantastic music by Levi Christ. His song, Gonna Be Alright, from Where I Belong. Available on our website, feastoffun.com. Click on the link and support the podcast. 5% of your music purchases goes back to supporting this show. Levi Christ has walked a long, arduous journey from being a Christian pop star to being one of the biggest names in gay music today. And so we salute you and all the warriors for equality out there. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, 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 everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. It's alright. Some days I just gotta go out to play for the afternoon sun up on my face. Take a walk down the boulevard, and I'm thinking I take it all too seriously. Maybe easier than it seems. Maybe I'm the one who makes it hard. That's so well and good, but it doesn't fix my car, and it doesn't keep the lights on when I'm eating in the dark. But I know, hey, 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 everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. It's alright. Hey, 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 everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. It's it just takes a little time, but I know. Hey, hey, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. It's alright. Hey, yeah, hey, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright.